Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
It is a big day. A big, big day on multiple fronts.
Yes, many levels.
Many, many, many levels. For starters, HBD to the big guy, Jeff O'Neill.
He was mad HBD. About that, too.
Like, I think it's so ignorant to write HBD.
Why? What's the difference
between... You and my brother are the only two guys that do it.
What did I write to you today?
Happy birthday, buds.
I put a buds in there, too.
Did you?
B-U-D-S.
But yeah. HBD, it's like you're that lazy you can't write happy birthday?
It's not laziness. You totally understand what the acronym
is. I actually wouldn't have known that, HBD.
You've never seen HBD. Happy birthday.
There's only two guys I've ever seen use it. Well, a lot of people on Facebook, and I think it's a joke. But you can't just say happy birthday.
What's the difference between HBD and LOL? Yeah. You write laugh out loud? Because you're the LOL king. Everything's LOL from you. That's lazy.
Really?
That's very lazy.
No, I
go
always...
through our group text and say, his is ha-ha.
Yeah, I put ha-ha, always. I put it H-A-H-A.
Which is just as disingenuous. The ha-ha. No one's actually
LOL
laughing.
I'm not LOL guy.
I'm telling you, dude. But on your birthday, I have to be honest with you. You're LOL guy.
I can't understand emojis. So if you're laughing, or like a laugh out loud is like an emoji where there's tears coming out, right?
It's very funny. But you're like, laughing out loud. It's that funny.
But what like a wow? There's like an expression on this emoji's face. The emojis are so small. You can't.
I'm with you. I don't use emojis.
There's new emojis. My girlfriend has ones where so, like, correct your spelling, scratch out words and correct it.
Why would you do that, though? Why don't you just erase it yourself? And
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
Like, even bit emojis or whatever, you got a picture of yourself.
My wife does that, like, and she constantly updates it. Like, she got her hair cut last week, and she updated her bitmoji. And I'm like, why would you do that? You don't send it to anyone but me.
Yeah, well, it looks more like her.
She updated her Bitmoji?
Yeah. She got a haircut, and she's like, I better get a different hairstyle now.
Maybe Steph should do that.
But
she got
Pat
her hair dyed the other day, or cut
Bitmoji.
Or whatever, and it was like orange.
Her
she
hair like color a, was orange?
She got like a, I don't know, she came home and was like, how's the hair look? And
was
I
she
was
rattled?
Like, there was a slight rattleage, but I don't think I helped the process, because I'm like, it looks orange. Don't you just, I mean... It was bad lighting, but there was some orange on top, I felt. And for somebody who doesn't have orange hair...
Nobody has orange hair.
Mike Commodore does, doesn't he?
He's got red hair. I don't think he's got orange hair. Like, I guess maybe there can be a tint that could be borderline orange, naturally.
Right.
But I don't think you're supposed to have orange hair. Like, I've never come across
orange
that.
Hair.
At least not Steph, who's like a brunette, right? Now, yeah. If she's got orange, that's a bit of a problem. But anyway, HBD, it's trivia day. Team Corsi, Team Nerd, Jonas and Masters will be in here in the 6 p.m. hour. Noodles, you'll be a big
so
part of
Kara
it. Kara's coming
it?
In. No, Kara's coming
Kara's
in.
Kara's doing it. I'm the ask a friend or whatever, ask noodles.
Are you going to the noodle desk? Is the ask the noodle at the noodle desk?
I don't know. I think Tyler's laid out all the rules, but I think I'm probably going to slide over the... He's the guy who put all this together. He's put in a lot of work, actually.
Yeah, Hunt has got it all figured out. Don't you worry about it. We'll be fine. We'll talk about that throughout the afternoon. Masters and Siegel in here.
But we have big news otherwise in the National Hockey League. Get to it.
Well, let's begin with the Matthews update, which wasn't much of an update, because Babcock came out and said he'll be out a bit... The reports are it's a shoulder. It seems more than likely it's a shoulder. As long as he can be back at 100%, not 90%, right. Not 95%, back at 100% before the playoffs, then it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
It's really not that big of a deal.
It's not. And a couple things that Babcock said, a bit kind of sounds like it wasn't the 10-day routine where he was like 10 to, or whatever the doctors say usually means 10 days.
Yeah, like day
but
to
then
day.
He said, if Willie's good at center, we'll just leave him there. That's when I went, maybe this guy's got a serious injury. You never know.
Well, as long as he avoids surgery.
Didn't look good. Like, I mean, my angle right away, everyone was focused on the defenseman. It was, who hit him?
Clutterbuck.
No, Clutterbuck was the forward that hit him.
Pelech was the
Pelech, D. Yeah. Pelech steps up on him and pushes him that way, but it's Clutterbuck. They squish him. And
John Tavares is lucky Kelly Chase wasn't playing in that game, because you know what would have happened to John Tavares?
I know,
he Chase would have been eating out of a straw for a month.
Yeah.
Because that's how much things have changed in 20 years. Because there was no Matt Martin, but if Kelly Chase was on the ice, this is how he did his business. He would go up to... he wouldn't say anything. He would just grab John Tavares randomly and just beat the hell out of him and then go to the bench and say, anybody else want to screw around with Matthews? Like, anyone else?
Well, especially considering the guy who hit him. Like, Kyle Clutterbuck is the definition of a fourth-line energy, body-checking player.
And was there any kind of resistance? I'm not saying you got to go out and slash somebody across the head, but there's zero bite-back. There was nothing,
and
which is fine.
It doesn't happen anymore.
Doesn't.
It just doesn't.
I know.
Happen.
I'm just saying. That's what happened 20 years ago.
I was texting with you all about this, and all night he was a target. Like, Matthews gets targeted all the time, but not in that way. I felt like the Islanders, Cizikas was all over him. He was jousting with Matthews a few times.
Because they both knew their former linemate wasn't in the lineup. Who else is going to, who's going to do anything?
Well, and the Islanders have that monster on the fourth line, that Johnson. That guy was, he's like 6'6", and he actually can move out there. But I think the game has migrated away. I don't want to say it was an accident, but it certainly wasn't an intent. Like, hey, we're going to go and try and separate this guy's shoulder or do whatever he wants. Matthews went to middle ice, and Pelech cut him off, and Clutterbuck was waiting for him. It happens. It's unfortunate because Matthews had kind of just changed the game. He'd had a tough game.
Well, not kind of. He did change the game.
Well, I know, but he had a tough night leading up to that. He was dash three. He had a couple chances around it, but... You know, changes the night because he gets a bounce on the back door, and they're right back in it, and end up winning. You know,
the story is Matthews clearly. The fact that they got 2 points, that's a bonus, but no one even really cared. I don't think anyone was walking out of that building saying, "What a great shootout that was! Awesome night." Like, it was a weird game. Freddie Anderson was flopping around all night.
It was
lost at times.
It wasn't a good game.
It was a sloppy, kind of choppy game. Matt Barzal, like, that was a magical game for him. If you haven't seen him or been tracking him, he looked good last night. But with Matthews, again, they know what's going on. They know what the diagnosis is.
Exactly.
They're aware of how long he's going to be out. As long as he avoids surgery, and as long as he can get back to 100%, it really shouldn't change anything. Like, I think some people are like, okay, how does this affect what they do between now and the trade deadline? If they believe he's back before the playoffs, it doesn't change anything.
Yeah, exactly. They're not going to...
It doesn't change anything. Now, what it might change is the likelihood of them actually catching Boston or Tampa. And it's a bummer that they play Boston tomorrow night and Tampa on Monday. The next two games are really important games, and they're shorthanded because the big boy's not going to be playing.
And as far as the big boy, just if you want to look big picture, I'm not concerned, but I'm starting to think there's things piling up
injury-wise. Well, this is an injury plague season now for him.
Yeah,
concussion, whatever he was
lower
dealing
back,
with before. I think it
shoulder.
Was a back problem, now a shoulder. Like, this is a borderline
Band-Aid
season.
When you're a big man
season.
Like that, just ask any big man that played in the NHL. Kind of, they add up, and they...
Well, it's... Unfortunately, you can't play 82 every year. Other than Phil Kessel, who else is... And Cogliano, who else has done that?
Well, Patrick Marleau's a guy who does it, but you're right. I mean, it's one thing to expect 82 every year. This is his second year. Now, he played 82 last year.
Yeah.
It's his second year. Let's be honest, I'd much prefer a shoulder injury than another concussion. If you have two concussions within, like, 2 months, then you're starting to get concerned
about
that.
You start to head down the road of a guy.
What's triggering these?
Exactly.
What's the next hit going to cause?
Jeff Skinner road.
Right, exactly.
Young,
and that's really concerning.
Young guy that had multiple concussions and had to fight through that, you know?
But if this is like what Marner went through a year ago, he'll miss 5 or 6 games. Maybe because they're so far into the playoffs, he'll miss 10.
Yeah.
But, again, they're going to the playoffs. This might lead us to believe, it would probably lead me to believe, and I think they were going this way anyway, that they're going to finish third. They're going to start the first round of the road. But it shouldn't change anything between now and Monday.
No.
And it shouldn't change the way anyone feels about the team. Like, I think some people immediately reacting. Okay, well, now you got to trade Van Riemsdyk. Now you got to trade. Why? Like, if he's back in a month and he's 100%, nothing changes. Nothing right. changes.
What, people are calling for a scorched-the-earth rebuild right
no,
now?
But no, but I think it's... I understand... Listen, if he's done for the year, that drastically changes their chances come playoff time. That's an understatement. If Babcock showed up today and said, serious surgery, under the knife, out 4 to 6 months, season
done.
I would
say yard sale. Everybody.
Then I would be looking at it very differently. But I don't get the impression like that's the case. No. And if they expect him to be back at 100% in a month, then it doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
But except for the pursuit of Boston and Tampa. That's the only thing it could potentially change.
Yeah, you're
and it's
right.
a bummer because he's a great player and he's the face of the team and it has been an injury plague season. But as long as he's back at 100%, it's fine. Yeah. They'll be fine.
Agreed.
He'll be fine.
I don't see it. They're a good team. You know, watching them live last night, like, you know, the Islanders are a good team too. And I thought Halak made some pretty big saves, but I just kept thinking to myself, if you took Frederik Andersen's season and put that on the Islanders, like that type of like stability in net. Now the Islanders' back end, they had a lot of shots and some chances last night, but they are not that efficient in their own zone.
No.
So they kind of mirror each other. The only difference
and
is
just think whatever they were last night, it was 10 times better than the game before. And yeah. it's still not
and
that good.
I didn't think John Tavares was good last night at all.
I thought he was invisible. Yeah, I didn't even notice him.
He looked really heavy-footed last night. Now, it happens. It's an off night. He's having an amazing season. So I chalk it up to they had a couple pushes, I think, in the first and second shifts of their game. Other than that, I thought he was really invisible, which, again, 1 of 82, not a big deal. And it's even not that big of a story here. You know, it because he's... This wasn't Stamkos from the year before.
No, it's not even close.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. And in large part because of who the Leafs
where
have.
The
focus
are, exactly.
is on Matthews, and the focus is on Marner and Nylander, and
yeah.
they're a really good team, and the focus is on acquiring a defenseman and improving if you can. And yeah. more news coming out today, courtesy of Bobby Mack. Erik Karlsson dodging the media again last night, and they play an afternoon game tomorrow, so he's not going to have a pregame conversation.
I'm calling that game tomorrow.
I think he's just going to disappear until after the trade deadline. I don't think he's going to talk to anybody. Why would he start now if he missed the past two nights?
Yeah.
But Bobby Mack reporting that it is the preference of the organization in Ottawa to attach the Bobby Ryan contract to any Karlsson deal. And as I said yesterday, if I'm an Ottawa Senators fan, I am seething with that kind of news. I'm insulted by that kind of news because it's all about dollars and cents. Like, this is moving towards an basically Harold Ballard era in Ottawa. Like, that's what it's moving towards. Because you're not going to get full value for the greatest player in franchise history because the owner wants $30 million.
If you're
going
to go mandatory on attaching a contract to it, it's a joke.
Well, you're suing the GM.
Imagine Gretzky being traded out of Edmonton and saying,
"By the way, you got to take a couple of other guys
or
whatever it is,
deal or whatever." But here's my take on that though. I think teams are scrambling to make this happen, and you keep hearing about three-way deals.
Right.
So if anything, if you're a team that could absorb some salary, I'd throw my hat in the ring and say, yeah, we'll take Ryan's contract. But if you're getting a first rounder in the deal, throw it over here.
But that's the point. That means Ottawa's got to pay that team to get rid of Bobby Ryan.
Right. There's going to be a lot of moving parts.
You're not going to get the lump sum of what you're getting for Karlsson.
Exactly,
you got to cut some of it off and send it somewhere else because you don't want to spend some
money. You're not getting a 16-ounce steak. You're going to get 12 ounces, and you've got to shave four off and give it to whoever's going to take that contract.
And again, if you're an Ottawa Senators fan, I would just be – I'd be fuming. I'd be fuming. It would be one thing, again, if they spent to the cap and they're like, okay, we got to find a way to get under the cap –
They're
a budget. They're not even close to the cap. Ryan's contract doesn't matter in terms of the way they build the team.
Right.
This is just simply, I believe, the owner saying, "You got rid of Dion. Yeah. Now Brassard's gone, and now
it's
I want this guy's
million,
contract gone.
$7 million.
I'm not paying
Karlsson. Goes, there's another six.
It's borderline
shaving.
Harold Ballard. It's borderline Harold Ballard without all the other junk and craziness.
Well, but in today's world, what he's probably said is, if we're going to break this down, break it down, get rid of. You know, Bobby Ryan is 30-plus years old. He has 11 hand injuries on record right now. Like, he's in Lupul territory. Like, that's where he's at. And he makes 7.25. and you've got this trade chip that you're going to lose if he walks in. Like, I don't think that's bad business from Ottawa's standpoint, from the fans and all that, but you have to move away. If Erik Karlsson said to them, like we've been talking in the last couple of days, I'm not signing here. I'm not being a part of a rebuild and going to take $12 million a year.
And I think something like that happened.
Something must have, where he just said,
you know what, do it now because I'm not coming back here.
So if that's the case, they're probably saying, well, we are going to scorch the earth here. We've already moved Dion's contract out. Yeah, we absorbed Gabrick's. We may use some of that money to buy Gabrick out or do whatever they have to do. But they probably have a plan, and I don't know how Ballard works. I do know, but I don't in today's world. But to cut a bunch of salary, play with a bunch of young guys, and they are going to be a team that is, you know.
They don't have their first-round pick next year.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. They're trying to get one probably in these. But it's not going to be their pick. If they're this brutal now, and now you take Brassard off the team, Phaneuf off the team, soon to be Karlsson off the team.
Yeah.
How do you expect to go into next season anything short of being one of the worst three or four teams in the league?
And maybe Hoffman.
Let's not forget.
Maybe Hoffman. Like, they're not just going to start. Like, if I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I'm trying to get Mike Hoffman. Like, if I'm, you know.
But like using Edmonton as an example, this would be like Chiarelli deciding, okay, we're going to trade McDavid, or McDavid walks in and goes, I want out. Yeah. And then Chiarelli sending an email being like, you also have to take Lucic.
Yeah,
you got to take that contract too. So you're not going to be able to trade this superior asset based on its true value.
You're right.
So but you're just not going to get a true Karlsson trade.
But has there ever been a trade of a superstar where the value back has been?
I don't think so, Jamie. Equal? But I agree with him where it's like if you're going to trade one of those type of players, you're talking about top five player in the league.
Yeah.
The idea of saying you're taking this too is asinine.
You're not going to get full value. You can't possibly get full value.
Because some team's going to say, okay, we're getting Karlsson, that's great, but that load of whatever that we got to take too on our books, that basically turns Karlsson into not full Karlsson.
It's not full Karlsson. Well, it knocks his value completely down.
Now, here's the other thing. You can ask for all of that. Do you receive? That's the thing. Like, you know, by all accounts, everyone who's calling, yeah, well, we'll move him. We'll move player X, but you have to take player Y. And maybe general manager hangs up the phone and says, can't do it. Or then they'd start to get creative. But at least that ask may change if nobody's a taker. So you might as well ask for the world. And then if you don't receive it, then you move on to plan B as to, okay, we will move this player at the draft. I don't think the Ottawa Senators are pressed up against it to move Erik Karlsson by Monday.
They don't
have
to. I think
they can move him at the draft.
They don't have to, but it sure feels like it's gotten that far, doesn't it?
Well,
it feels like it's so ugly.
You know why, though? It's because teams that are going to move for Karlsson want him for two playoff runs.
Well, of course.
Guaranteed.
And that is valued more.
That's up the value, too.
That's worth more, for sure.
That makes me very, very interested.
But that's the point. So Pierre Dorion's saying, how interested are you? Because we can unload something else here, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame him for asking. I don't think it's him, though.
I don't think it's him. No. I don't believe for a second Pierre Dorion.
But let me ask you this, though.
Do you not think that this thing all started?
GM, wouldn't you do that?
What?
Like, if you're a smart general manager, Bobby Ryan is a guy who's nicked up and makes $7.25 million a year. If you could get rid of that, like if you want to.
Ideally, if you can get rid of it,
sure. So that's what I'm saying. So Pierre Dorion has taken over this.
Oh, there's no question he's not an idiot for doing it, but it just seems like it's almost like a.
Package it with something else. You know, here, I'll give you a second rounder, take Ryan and just give me a seventh. Like, let me just get rid of him. Not, hey, drag down Erik Karlsson's value by taking this.
But I don't think his value is dragged down.
How can it not be? It's $7.25 million cap hit for 4 years.
I know, but you're still getting the fifth best player in the world.
You're getting a great player.
So,
but you've got to make it work.
You're right.
Like, there's teams that are sitting there. They're like, how do you intend on me bringing this guy in here?
I don't think like a team like Tampa Bay. I don't think they could do that.
I don't think they can either.
They can't. But that's where another team comes to their rescue.
Right. But that's my point. Ottawa has to pay for that team.
I know a team that can make a guy.
disappear. You're right.
An island.
But it's still, I'd take 12 ounces out of 16 of Carlson as opposed to zero.
I would if I was the team. I'm saying from Ottawa's perspective, I don't think it makes sense.
No, I
just don't think you're trading the greatest asset your franchise has ever had. He's the greatest player in team history. He's in his prime. He's got a year and a half left.
Yeah.
And you're attaching an albatross of a contract onto whatever trade conversation you're having. There's no way that doesn't devalue it to an extent. Doesn't mean they still can't get something. But like you just said, you look at these big deals in the past, they generally don't work out anyway.
They don't.
Joe Thornton didn't have a $7.25 million cap hit going with him, and they got nothing for him. Sagan didn't have that, and they got nothing for him.
Yep.
So you take those deals as a primer and then plop on Bobby Ryan. If you're a team, you're like, I don't know what you think I can give you.
But as far as the Sens, do you not think that this thing went into the tank as soon as Melnyk came out before that outdoor game and
absolutely
said, I'm not blowing my money on these hockey players? And it just seemed like from that moment, well, I think Pierre Dorion caused a bit of a problem, like asking for trade teams 2 months into the season. But when the owner does that at that particular moment, I think there's a few guys in that team, and Carlson being one, that said, screw this, man. I'm not going to be a part of this.
No. And I wouldn't blame
him for that. And that's when he checked out and said, I'm out of here. And his play shows it. His body language shows it. And it's quite a, like, what a fall from one goal away from the Stanley Cup Finals to this circus.
It's crazy what's happened.
It's insane.
Like, Edmonton loving this. Montreal loving this. No one's talking about them.
Right now,
no one's talking about them because everyone's focused on what's going on in Ottawa. Ray is going to join us. We haven't caught up with Ray.
Are you for real?
Yeah, apparently he's up. I don't know why he... Like, we've been trying to get him on in the 6 p.m. hour, which is the 8 a.m. hour over there.
And he gave us the middle finger for 2 weeks.
But now he's coming on in the 6 a.m. hour over there. Whatever. Anyway, Ray's coming up. Trivia at 6 p.m. Bobby Mack will join us. Mike Commodore is going to be on the show this afternoon.
A new friend of the show. We've been battling to get Mike Commodore on the show, and he is going to grace us with his presence.
It's the O-Dog's birthday. We got trivia going on. Matthews, we'll keep talking about that and the potential impact on the team. Derek Brassard traded to Pittsburgh because all the Pens do are make moves and improve every single year leading up to the trade deadline. Raps in action tonight. We're giving away tickets to a Raps game later in the month. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Bobby Mack will join us just after 5 p.m. on the Derek Brassard trade to Pittsburgh. What's up with Erik Karlsson? Any update on Austin Matthews? Leafs did win last night. It feels like kind of a gloomy, bit of a negative Friday, but...
Well, it's... Yeah, I mean, because, like you said, they're so far into a playoff spot. Nothing's changing that way. Nice win, you know, they come back in it, but your focus is on the future of this team because of your best player.
It's all Matthews.
You'd
happily trade a loss last night, 25 to nothing, exactly, for him to be healthy.
Worst loss minus 24.
Yeah, minus 24. Worst loss in league history for him to be healthy today.
Did you not make me a lasagna today?
No, I told you I wasn't making
a
lasagna.
He didn't even wear a sweatshirt for you. Do you think he's going to make you a lasagna?
I was watching the game last night. I'm tracking the news. I'm trying to get a read on the insider stuff.
Lots of things going on.
Yeah. Do you want to get a feed? We can order something.
I'm thinking about it.
All right. Let's talk about that, okay? We're going to call Ray in a minute, see what kind of mood he's in at 6:30 in the morning.
Just growly.
This could get ugly. We'll get to it in 2 minutes. All right, it's 6:30 a.m. over in South Korea.
Yeah.
6:30 a.m.
Let's get to the phone lines.
Should we hit the phone lines and head over to Pyeongchang? Joining us now on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial, which my understanding is massive in South Korea. Here's Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
What's happening is I'm lying in bed on about 4.5 hours sleep because Tyler can't figure out the breaks of a show.
So you're happy to be on the show is what you're saying.
Thrilled. He calls. We'll get to you. Oh, and then he texts me and says, oh, yeah, we got to get the traffic in. It'll be closer to 6:30 a.m., which is now. So I've been sitting here in the dark thinking that if I could get near Tyler, I would strangle him right now.
We figured that might be the reaction. Like, we've been talking about it the past couple of weeks. Like, every once in a while, it's like, should we see if Ray can come on? I don't know. He's really busy over there. And we just figured if you're going to come on, it would be closer to 6:30 our time, 8:30 your time. And when Hunt told me yesterday you were coming on at, like, 6 a.m. your time, I'm like,
4:05.
That's going to be a disaster. Why did you agree to do this?
So I would say it was a time miscalculation by me in the first place, because I've also agreed to go on to Montreal in about an hour, which is really good thinking, because now, how am I going to do, sleep for 28 minutes?
Yeah, it's not good.
What a dummy I am. I'm going to put the toilet seat on my own head.
Yeah.
You know it's not Tuesday.
Yeah. Well,
is it?
It might be over here. I don't know, man. It's very confusing.
Do you not think a toilet seat might go on Brulé's head after this morning?
Oh, that was bad. I don't know what he was thinking. What he was thinking was he scored. He was just fired up. And then he's going to make a big hit to continue to try and charge the team. But it was a bad decision, man. That wasn't even close to being anything else but a game misconduct. And then a team that doesn't score very much loses one guy that can. And that I would say that was in the middle of about the worst period of hockey that they've played since they've been put together.
Mm-hmm.
That was a brutal period of hockey.
It's been kind of strange for us to track it over here, and just based on the time difference, and let's be honest, without the NHL players, the anticipation just simply wasn't there. You've been experiencing it. You're right over there in the trenches. I mean, what's it been like without the NHL players? Is it even close? Is it just different but still entertaining? How would you describe it?
Well, both of those, Brian. It's like it's a level of play is not the same as if the NHL guys were here. I mean, you can try and dress up the tournament any way you want, but that's just a fact. The second thing is the unpredictability of the tournament with the NHL guys not here has made it really entertaining. I mean, there's no way Germany's in the gold medal game if the NHL players are here.
Right.
This is their team that plays in the World Championships minus Leon Draisaitl. And maybe Dennis Seidenberg. I can't even think of another player.
Yeah.
And so, just so their team, like these guys, 16 of them played in the World Championships last year. Canada has Chris Lee. The U.S. had nobody. You know, the Russians have a pile of guys. And they were supposed to win, and they should win. But now, I think it's a nice story or a nice thought that Germany could win. I don't see how they can. I think the Russian team is too good.
Ray, do you think this hurts anybody? I mean, we were just talking about it off air. A guy like Willie Desjardins, you know, if he would have coached a team to a gold medal, you know, maybe he gets back into, you know, the NHL coaching ranks maybe quicker than expected. The fact that his team doesn't have success, like, will he be looked on a little bit differently because of what went down? Or you have to be logical and think that he wasn't working with the deepest talent pool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it would really hurt. Although I thought it, you know, in the second period when things were going south, I said a couple of times that they've got to change things up here a little bit. Then they were forced to when Brulé got kicked out. But, like, nothing was happening, and the lines all stayed the same. And, you know, I don't know if that was his best 20 minutes, you know, for him. However, I think what would impact him more if somebody was thinking of hiring him would be what happened in Vancouver. Did he do a good job there? Does a prospective team think that he was coaching a team with no talent there? I don't think this hurts him. I don't know that guys can change or should change their standing in a two-week period of time to such an extent that they get or don't get an opportunity back.
Right.
With Renfro.
Like if you like Eric O'Dell, you should have liked him. Like if you're an NHL team, you should have liked him before the tournament, as opposed to now that you've seen him play five more games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, there's been some chatter over here. Any of these Canadian guys, can they make the impact on the NHL? I can't see it. I didn't follow it as closely, but I haven't heard of anyone outside of that. Is it Eli Tolvanen kid that the Preds, they own his rights? Like, apparently he's at a great tournament. He may come over and actually join them, I guess, after the Olympics. But I don't get the sense, like, any of these players that are over there are thinking of making an NHL return or an impact post-Olympics. I mean, I don't get that sense. Do you have it? May have fallen asleep. Did he fall asleep? There's no way he fell asleep. His phone must have dropped. Good
that
luck getting him back
even
on.
Even better.
There's no way he's going to answer again.
That would have been even better.
If I
better
heard him snoring, I would have retired a happy man.
Like, it's your birthday. All we just need to just hang on to hear him snoring.
If he fell asleep, this could be an all-time moment.
That would be the greatest.
I don't know
if he's either. Private is calling him back.
I don't think we call
didn't
him back.
Didn't Pete Rose fall asleep on the panel?
I don't think he fell asleep, but he was real close. Like, when he was working with Fox during the World Series.
Got late?
He looked sleepy.
There was a game that went into the extra innings, and pretty deep into extra innings, and Pete Rose was so tired.
Well, he's a senior citizen, isn't he?
Is Ray back?
Oh,
I can't believe
you didn't fall asleep, did you? Please tell me you fell asleep.
No, stop it.
How happy were you to hear Tyler's voice again?
You know the old nails on the chalkboard? That's Tyler's voice right now.
Well, anyway, are you tracking anything that's going on here? Everyone's waiting for Erik Karlsson to be traded. I'm sure you're aware of that, but it's crazy over here. You can just imagine.
Well, I am. We're, you know, we get our email updates and you know, through Bob and Dregs and Pierre, and I don't see, unless there's a third team involved, how Ottawa gets this done and trying to include Bobby Ryan in the whole mix. Like, how would that? I understand they want to move Ryan, but how would attaching him to Karlsson make that deal even possible?
Yeah, we were talking.
I don't get it,
Ray. Yeah, we were just talking about it.
I don't think it can, and I think it significantly devalues Erik Karlsson. And I think it would be a ridiculous move by Ottawa. Like, I think that's, you know, it's about the owner, it's about saving money, but this is the best player in franchise history in his prime with 2 years left on his deal, and you're going to attach Bobby Ryan's contract to any talks? Like, how can you expect full value?
The other team, no matter what Ottawa tries to sell here, is the other team, whoever it is, are they not going to say, okay, well, Karlsson, we understand, is X number of pieces. But to take Ryan, who's broken his finger 36 times this year, we're going to give you less. Like, they're not paying you for the asset of Bobby Ryan. You're paying them to take Bobby Ryan. It's a really odd concept to think of. Like, I can't even get my head around when I first read that. I thought, that doesn't even make sense. It's not like Ryan's got 1 year left. What's he got, 5 years?
4 years at 7.25 per.
Yeah, with 7.5 of actual cash.
Right.
Like that's it's all in reverse of what you would think it would be. Normally teams make deals with a high cap hit with less actual cash. This is the other way. It's a player that hasn't been healthy in 2 years. I don't know. I'll be curious to see if they can even come close to pulling this off. But if they're going to do this, they better get it close to right, because people in Ottawa, I can't imagine, are going to be too thrilled.
No, they're freaking out.
They're losing their mind. I mean, think about that. the owner talking about putting people in the seats with Carlson. What's it going to be without?
No one's going to be there.
Well, Ray and I'll be there.
You guys will be there.
Have fun.
They may not just have us between the benches, Noodles. You're going to be in section 108, the entire section.
Well, hope
and
not.
Then I can go over to another one. It's a terrible time for them. And it's hard to believe. Like, last May, they were in the Eastern Conference Final.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see what happens, buddy. Safe travels getting back. When do you fly home?
Actually, this is kind of the only satisfaction I'm getting. I'm flying home Monday. I get home at 10 in the morning. I'm going to watch you knuckleheads all day. I hope there's 8,000 trades.
No, you hope that there's zero and we sit there and have to fill time.
Hey, look at old juggling hamburgers over there. Oh, I hope there's burgers in there. There's got to be one.
Oh, there's
going to
be lots of burgers.
Is there ketchup on that?
It's magical every year. Make sure you tune in, buddy.
Oh, I'll be in. First thing I'm going to do is I get onto the couch, turn it Trade Center on, and fall asleep.
Well, we'll call you later that afternoon.
Oh, that'd be great.
Get your take on
maybe
everything.
Maybe Tyler could call at 1 and say, hey, will you be ready in 40 minutes?
My understanding is he's taking a trip out to Vancouver in the summer. I'll send him your address, and he can shack up at your place.
Yeah. That'd be outstanding. I'll have one of those tiger traps set right inside the door. One
Game
step
of Thrones.
And in he goes.
Yeah. Game of Thrones with Hunt. If you can get through everything, you can stay with Ray and Cammy. All right, man.
Well, I think we got it going. Have a good one, boys.
Enjoy it over there. There's Ray Ferraro. He's going to shut the mill for about 15 minutes, and then the Hunt of TSN Radio in Montreal will call him.
Call and push him back 20 minutes.
Yeah. Something's going to happen. You know, like, something's going to happen. Mark Bergevin's going to be fired in the next 20 minutes, so they're going to have to move him or
push him back.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Good to catch up with Ray.
He was actually quite chipper for 6 a.m. over there.
Sitting there in the dark.
So rattled. It happens.
It happens. So Bob McKenzie will join us in about 20 minutes. Mike Commodore making his debut on Overdrive around 5:30.
New friend of the show.
New friend of the show. We can call our shot before he even comes on. It's going to be awesome to catch up with him. And it's trivia night at 6 p.m. Masters, Siegel, Team Nerd, a.k.a. Team Corsi, going up against Team Jock, a.k.a.
Team Eye Test.
The belt is on the line.
Where is the belt?
The belt's around here somewhere.
No, it isn't. Somebody you have it?
Yeah, he's got it. Hunt's got it. And it's the big guy's birthday.
Yeah.
Can you stop? I've told you about this before. Do not refer to me as the big guy.
Oh, my goodness.
You know better than that. I don't like that.
It just pops into my mind. It works. On a birthday, I think it works. Every other day of the year, I won't use it. On your birthday, I think I should be allowed
to use it. You always call me the big guy. And if you do it again, I'll punch you in the side of your head.
Why would you do that?
It's not
that
nice.
That seems like
a bit of an
overreaction. Are you being serious right now?
I'm being dead serious. I don't like people. When people in public, they don't know me. They're like, hey, big guy. I'm like, you don't call me big guy.
So what are you supposed to call you?
Bro.
Bro.
Dude.
You want to be known as bro.
What about my dude? My guy. My buddy. Instead of big guy. Call me big guy again. Remember the interview with Rome?
Jim Rome and Chris. It was Everett. Jim Everett.
And he was calling
me Chris
Chrissy.
Again.
Chrissy?
Yeah. Call me Chris again. You'd do that?
No, what if
you'd come over the table?
Big guy.
What about big shooter?
I don't mind big shooter.
He was a big shooter?
The big shooter. All right.
Big guy is not again.
Big we'll unit.
See. I'm going to drop it one more time. Like, you know what's going to happen now. Just wait for it. Trivia at 6 p.m. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Bob McKenzie in about 10 minutes. Mike Commodore around 5:30. It's trivia night. Round two. Masters and Siegel will be in here in the 6 p.m. hour. Kara's going to be in here. Noodles will be here today helping out. The belt will be on the line. Team Nerd also putting a night on the town on the line. Remember, that was part of what had to be included yes. here. You got to entice us into giving you another opportunity here. So that should be a wild and wacky evening if we win tonight. Masters and Siegel taking us out. Wining and dining the champs. As I said earlier, probably starts at the reference library around 6 o'clock.
Then wheels into a Jack Astor's movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then bedtime.
Bedtime. All right, watch the Raptors take on the Pistons from the Bell Fan Deck on February 26th. You can win a pair of tickets every day this week from Landsberg in the morning, the Scotty Mac Show, and right here on Overdrive. The phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. What nickname does the O-Dog detest more than anything on earth? What do you not call the O-Dog? 416-870-1050. If you were just tuning in, you'll know the answer. And you can win a pair of tickets to see Raps take on the Pistons later this month. Raps in action tonight with Milwaukee in town. And they're saying all the right things. Dwayne Casey's like, it's all about just plugging along and business-like attitude. And don't take your foot off the gas. And I wouldn't expect they will. I mean, they've played so well. But they've been off for 8 days, so who knows what you're getting tonight.
How's Milwaukee this year? They're taking a step back. I know they were kind of that up-and-coming team with their star player, but they haven't really been making a ton of noise.
They haven't moved beyond.
And I know Jason Kidd got fired earlier.
Yeah, they had a run that was pretty ugly. They dropped, I believe, below 500. But since then, they've started winning some games. Like, they're in sixth in the East. They're going to make the playoffs pretty comfortably. And they got Giannis, right? So yeah. they're a good enough team. They're not like a truly upper echelon competitive team, but they could do some damage. You probably want to avoid them in the playoffs. Probably would rather avoid them. Remember, they gave the Raptors a scare last year.
Mm-hmm.
Raps 1-6, but it was a bit ugly early on. Bob McKenzie, Mike Commodore coming up. Trivia night at 6. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.